A few announcements before the service. We as a board, just so everybody knows, Neil and Jordan are both on the board, so we came to a meeting on Saturday a week ago. Jordan and Neil's name will not be put forward for voting this year, or for January, but the following year, as soon as we have a bigger sample size and the comfort level for the two people that are speaking, and also the congregation gets more of a sample size, then we'll vote on them next year if their names get put forth. So just so you know that, so that anybody's putting their names forward, it won't go through on the agenda this year, just so you, if everybody's aware. The board kind of wants to give them enough time, the congregation enough time to listen and to prayerfully pray for them also. All home ministers, trustees, Sunday school superintendent obviously need to be nominated before December 1st. Visiting ministers' names and agenda items need to be filled out as well. The assumption taken, all names being filled out, you have spoken to the person and received approval before putting their name forward. The voting forms are at the back by the mints, so this was announced last week. Closing days effective December 1st. As you may have heard, Stella Wilson's Pastor Phil Wilson passed. Please pray for the family. And at the same time, it presents a conflict with previously scheduled Western Mission annual meeting. The meeting will be rescheduled at a future date, according to Jonathan Johnson. Christmas dinner is being held at the church December 6th. And today is the last day for tickets, so just so people know. Next Sunday, there will be a collection for the Compassion Fund, so that's next Sunday for the Compassion Fund. Tuesday, ladies' Bible study is at the church at 7. Men's Bible study is at the barn at the Worries at 7:30 on Wednesday. Friday, Bible study at the church at 7. Sunday school and adult Bible study at 10. Worship service at 11. Are there any other prayer requests? Order of service today, hymn 226, Sowing in the Morning. Ryan will give us the psalm reading, Psalm 98, hymn 380, My Father is Rich in Houses and Lands. Jordan will give us the prayer and the sermon. He's speaking on Luke chapter 1. And after the prayer, 465, O for a thousand tongues, and after the message, 567, Within Thy Wings Enfold Me. At 1:15, yeah, I don't have that. That's okay. Let's begin.
Today's psalm reading is Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his only holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness. Good grief. To the house of Israel, and the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering together around thy holy word, gathering in fellowship with other believers, and we pray that this morning that you would open your word to us, to each one of us, and that it would strengthen and feed us spiritually, and be with the speaker, be with each of us here today, and wherever in the world there are people who are seeking thy will, we pray that you would open your word, open what's necessary to have faith in Jesus, and strengthen each of us. You know what each of us needs. We don't always even know what we need ourselves, let alone what other people need, but you as our God, you know that you know us better than we know ourselves, and you know what we need. So we pray that you would open your word this morning and strengthen us. And let us pray that prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'd like to just welcome everyone here this morning and ask that your prayers would be with me too, that God would give me words and clarity of mind, that that we could all be given what we need. I'm going to read the first chapter of Luke, and it's a fairly long chapter, so I'll try not to do too much commentary on it, but the word, we know that the word itself will not return void. The Bible tells us that it'll do its work, and some of you have heard me say probably before, I like to, if possible, I make a connection between the Bible, that it's not just some dusty old book that has some words on pages, but for me, I pray that, and a lot of times it is that way, but I pray that God can make it living and real, that we can see that these people were just like us today, there's not a lot of difference between people are always the same. We have the same needs, and these people, they were just living their life in the present as we are today, and that's my prayer too, is that we can make that connection that things haven't really changed a lot, and that we can apply this to our life today here. And I guess I kind of like to look at the Bible kind of every year, and since we're coming up toward Christmas time and the birth of Jesus, thought I'd start with the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, which is the most complete of the Gospels. He gives the most detail on, and that's what his intent was. Luke was a doctor, a physician who traveled with the Apostle Paul, and as such, he was literate. He was able to write, and he tried to make a really accurate record of what he saw and knew. So starting in the first, right at the beginning of the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. "For as much as I have taken in hand," this is Luke writing, "as much as I have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." I'll just kind of comment on it as I read here, rather than reading it all through and going through it a second time. But we don't really know who this Theophilus is. Whether he was a person who commissioned Luke to write this, but the word, the name, we see a lot of times the names are significant, and the word, the name Theophilus means beloved of God. So ultimately, Luke was writing this to all believers and to all people, but even to us here today, as beloved of God, we're all can receive this word in the Bible. "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now Zacharias, he was a priest, and in their system of the temple, it was set up from the time of King David that the descendants for hundreds of years, if your father was a priest in a certain, they called it an order or a course, then the son, it carried down through generations just perpetually. And so Zacharias was of the course of Abiah, which is mentioned in the Old Testament book, First Chronicles. And their duty was to burn incense, and that's what it says here later on, that's what they were to do. And these priests, they had a system where they would go for a week, twice a year. There was 24 groups, and they would each take a week, and they'd have their regular life and their job and whatever they did, but they would take a week off twice a year. And these 2 weeks, they would go serve in the temple. And then they would also serve. All of the priests would come together. They had three major feast times of the year, and all of the priests would be expected to put in their time at those feast times. So this was one of those, probably one of those one-week sections of his year where he was in Jerusalem in the temple serving and he was burning incense. And his wife was also of the daughters of Aaron, which Abiah was also a descendant of Aaron. And so they were kind of both, husband and wife, were both in the same kind of group, family group of the sons of, or the descendants of Aaron, who, of course, was Moses' right-hand man when they came out of Egypt hundreds of years before. They were both, says Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, were both righteous, verse 6, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And I kind of mentioned that, but I'm not an incredibly in-depth Bible scholar, but it is interesting how the Bible, it is so orderly, and people, if you do take the time to research it, you can find where in the Old Testament these things were laid out, and then the New Testament, there's so many things that are just reinforced that it is totally historically accurate, and the Bible is very accurate, and we, even archaeologists and that, they can, there's a lot of things that have been questioned, but the Bible is a book that we can trust more than any book that's ever been written, even historically, and it is very consistent. So it says the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him, which is Zacharias, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And these were an elderly couple, and they had probably been praying for many years that they could have a child, and now at this stage, they were probably old enough that that hope was basically gone, that they wouldn't have their own children. And then kind of out of the blue, this angel just appeared to him and said, "You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." And this is, I think, interesting to note that John would be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's some people that have thought the Holy Ghost wasn't given till the day of Pentecost. But we see that there were people who were given the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Even through the Old Testament, there's mentions of it. God has always been with his people and given them what they need, and faith and the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And he says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." If we look historically at this time, the Jews still had their temple. I see a lot of parallels today. There's a lot of churches. People go to the churches, but the general, you might say, the religion of the Jews was pretty dead. The people, for the most part, they went through the motions. They showed up at the temple when they were supposed to show up, and they kind of did the outward things that they were expected to do, but their religion had largely died. And I think in this case, Zechariah and Elizabeth were you might call a remnant of people who really truly believed in God and trusted God. And they were trying to live their life being obedient to God, and that's where in this 17th verse, when it says that John would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient. The Jewish nation was at that time very disobedient as a whole, and unfortunately, if you look through the whole of history, the Jewish people were most of the time very disobedient, very rejecting God, fighting against the things God wanted. Just like people today, our nature is not, as humans, to be godly and obedient. We tend to be wanting to go off on one rabbit trail or another and disobedient, and that's my nature, and I think that's human nature. And that's how the Jews were at this time, the Jewish people. And even today is the same thing. You know, the country of Israel is an extremely secular country today. There's maybe a very small remnant of godly people there. And God has certainly blessed the nation of Israel today, but it's not a godly country by and large. And that's how it was 2,000 years ago when this was written. The people were not godly. The Jews were not godly people as a whole. Even the priests were very corrupt. A lot of the priests in the temple were very corrupt. And they were there for the money and the glory and the power and just like any political game. And we see the same thing today. But John was called to be a prophet like Elijah, or it says Elias is the same name. John was going to come and he was going to speak truth, and the people were going to turn. They were going to hear it. And that's what he says here in the 17th verse, that John was going to turn that through the spirit and the power of Elias would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was called to prepare the way for the Lord, to be a predecessor to Jesus himself. And Zechariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." He wanted a sign. He wasn't just going to believe it immediately. And I think that's how we as people are. We don't just, if something amazing happened, is told us is going to happen, a lot of times we're pretty skeptical. But the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings." We see throughout the Bible, this Gabriel was, I think, the main messenger of God, an angel who was sent to quite a few people, the Old Testament and New. Gabriel was quite often the one who would bring a big news, you might say, to somebody. And so as Zacharias wanted a sign, so he says, "Okay, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. Your voice is going to be taken away from you till the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." We see the same thing throughout history. We see here Zacharias, he had probably been praying, him and his wife had been praying for, who knows, 40, 50 years maybe, that they would have a child, and then when it actually happens, they don't believe it. They're like, "No, this can't be. And we see the same with Abraham and Sarah, many hundreds of years before, they they were told same thing, you're going to have a son, and they didn't really believe it. We see a little later on in the book of Acts where the apostle Peter was thrown in prison, I believe it was Peter, and they were all praying that he would be released, and then when he was released and came knocking at their door, they didn't believe it. But and so we see the same human nature coming out, and I guess that's where I connect with these people, because I know my own weakness, you know, something I might be really wanting to happen, and then if it actually happens, it's like, well, surely it can't be this way. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So this is kind of a new... Actually, talking about Elizabeth conceiving a child, in a lot of cultures, even today in the world, it's a shameful thing to not have children, and our society has kind of gotten away from that, where some of our humanist society has actually had it be a negative thing to have children, that, oh, you're going to put your career on hold, and you know, your life is going to be so much harder, and that if you have kids, and it is, I mean, there's always something, you know. This morning, Graydon and Freddie aren't here because Freddie fell off of the bathroom counter and had to go get some stitches, and so that's why they're not here. But, you know, that's such is life. When you got kids, there's always something that's costing money and some complication that comes along, And yeah, it's a lot of trouble, but the kids are also such a blessing. They give us such a full life that without kids, it can be, well, just a lot quieter. And it's a blessing to have kids, and especially among a lot of the world, even. Like, I work with a lot of guys from all around the world. I've worked with guys from South America and Africa and Asia and most of the world. It's a really it's seen as a lot more of a blessing to have children than it is here in North America. In North America, we've largely made money our God, and families have kind of taken a backseat to that. But a lot of the world, they might be poor people, but they actually put a lot more value on family. And whether it's their parents, they have more respect for their parents and their elders and grandparents, and they also have a lot more value on their children than our Western society has put. And I think we can learn a lot from that, because it's actually in order with the Bible. So they saw it as a great blessing, Zachariah and Elizabeth, when they were able to have a child. Then the 26th verse here. In the 6th month, then the same angel Gabriel, who was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Here again, this Mary, she was a young girl. They don't know exactly, but some people have guessed she might have been 14 years old or 16 or, you know, a young lady, very young lady. And she was probably just living her life in her parents' house, doing the things that she did every day, you know, cooking meals and maybe looking after her younger siblings. And all of a sudden, this angel appeared to her just out of the blue and told her that the Lord is with you. You're blessed among women. So she was troubled in this saying, casting her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I'm sure any of us would be taken aback to have an angel just appear to us and bring us any of these kind of greetings. But the angel says to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was actually espoused, or we might say engaged, to be married to this Joseph, but she was probably still living with her parents, and she hadn't been married yet. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So here we find out that Elizabeth and Mary were cousins, and they lived in different towns, some distance apart, but they were cousins. They were quite a bit different in age. Mary was a very young lady, and Elizabeth was an elderly lady. It says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." This, we don't know exactly some of these things. It doesn't give us all the details, but the Mary traveled to whatever town it was where her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias lived. It says it was in the hill country. The hill country in Israel is a really small country, but to the west of the Dead Sea, there's some very hilly area. Lots of ravines, and I guess they grow a lot of grapes and olives in some areas. Be, you know, similar to, we go out to the Okanagan, and there's, I'm thinking some of that kind of country, not the big mountains, but the hills where there might be a lake in the bottom of the valley, the big valley, and then there's some big hills and in this country, they raised a lot of sheep because it's really steep hills and canyons and valleys everywhere. And this is where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived. And so Mary entered into the house of Zacharias, saluted her cousin Elizabeth, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. For whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there also shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. We don't know if they had communicated. Maybe Mary had somehow sent a letter or message to her cousin to tell her what had happened. But I can just imagine that they somehow heard what had happened with both of them, and they're like, you know what? I gotta go visit her. You know, even today, that's how it would be that if you heard that your cousin had also had this angel appear and bring such great message that you would have to talk to this person in person. And then we get into verse 46. This is a section which is commonly referred to as the Magnificat, which is in Latin, which is magnifying the Lord. And this has been said and sung in churches. It's one of the most common songs, actually, has been written in many languages into a song and music, many different ways music put to it. This verse is 46 to 55-ish. It's called the Magnificat. And it is just Mary says, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I think this section, any of us can look at it and apply it to our life, how he's regarded the low estate of us, that we're not deserving of salvation. We don't deserve Jesus. We don't deserve God looking on us. We can't do anything to make ourselves worthy of the Almighty God giving his blessings to us. But still, we can rejoice that God is our Savior. God has provided us with a Savior. He that is mighty has done to us great things. I think especially to all of us who believe in Jesus, he's done great things. And holy is his name. His mercy is on them. His mercy is on all of us that fear him. If we fear God, his mercy is upon us from generation to generation. He's scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. I think that applies to a lot of us. It applies to me for sure. I've told a lot of you that when I was 21 years old, I started working on airplanes and ended up moving to the Northwest Territories. And life was going pretty good. You know, I loved my job and was having fun, and things were going pretty good. And I would say I was in this proud state that I can't say that I didn't believe in Jesus, but I didn't have a lot of need for God and Jesus in my life at that point, because life was so exciting and treating me so well. But I was knocked down, and you all know that my two cousins passed away there in the July of 1999. And in an instant, my world and my priorities got turned upside down. And I realized what things were more important. And that's, I think, I pray that that God would do that for all of us, that that it says that he would show mercy on us, but also that he would cast down the proud and scatter the proud in our imagination of our hearts, and put down the mighty from their seats and exalt them that are of low degree. That's how this Christian religion works, is that in humility is where we pray that we could be an example to others, and then he will exalt us, and he will give us what we need. He's filled the hungry with good things, the rich he's sent empty away. God's helped his servants, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. And so, yeah, right from the time of Abraham, even from the time of Adam and Eve, God has been the same, and he's still there to give us salvation. You know, even God promised, right from the time of Adam and Eve, God promomised that there would be, he would make a way of escape from our sin, and that was fulfilled in Jesus, and the whole plan that God had set in place. So Mary abode with his cousin Elizabeth about 3 months, verse 56, and then she returned to her own house. And I hope in the next month or so, we'll probably, whoever's speaking will go more into the birth of Jesus and that, but I just wanted to focus on John being the precursor of Jesus. And verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias, after the name of his father. And Zacharias, the name Zacharias in the Hebrew or Aramaic means remembered of God. But his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And in those days, the tradition was that the child would basically get their father's name, or sometimes they would call a person such and such, the son of the father was kind of how they would do it. But the mother answered, and she had been talking to Zacharias, and Zacharias had been told that the son was supposed to be called John. And the name John in the Hebrew is Yohanan, which is very, there's a lot of derivatives in like Johannes or Johanna, the name John basically means God is gracious. And so these very much apply. Zacharias, God remembered Zacharias and gave him what their prayer was. But then John, God was gracious and sent John, and that's John's name. And the friends, they said to Elizabeth, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And Zacharias' mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwell around them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring on from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Some of this goes back to repeating things from the Old Testament, prophecies that were made, and you can get into a lot of that. But yeah, John was called to be a prophet of God. Throughout the Bible, we see that there are certain people who were called to be prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and many prophets. I think there was always one or more people who were called to be prophets. And the unfortunate thing is that most of the time the prophets were rejected by the people. They were ridiculed, and the people hated them, tried to kill them because they spoke things that were true. And we see the same thing today. Even as close to home right here in Canada, unfortunately, we see the same thing. People being thrown in jail and hated. Charlie Kirk, people killed him for speaking truth. And yesterday I met a fellow named Jim McMurtry, who's from BC, and he got fired from his job for saying things that were unavoidably true and calling out some of the massive lies of our society that have been affirmed by governments and courts and everything. But anybody who's dug into it knows that they're absolute lies. And then you get one guy that is a teacher, and if he calls it out, they're willing to fire you and take away your, in some cases, take away your university degrees you might have. And the things, these are happening right in Canada today. People that speak truth. And so nothing has changed for better or worse. But John was called to be a prophet. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and Zechariah realized that. John was called to go before the face of the Lord. He was going to be a forerunner for Jesus and prepare the way. To give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And this is what Jesus came to do, to remit our sins. Jesus was the only, you might say, the only perfect man. God required perfection. God required somebody, because all of us humans are imperfect. God requires perfection. And so somebody had to come and be our mediator. Since no human could do it, God sent Jesus, his own son, to mediate on our behalf. And God in his wisdom decided to send John to pave the way to proclaim Jesus. And that's what we see in the next it's in chapter 3. We won't get into that today, but we see the actual ministry of John in that. But here Zacharias tells us what was going to happen. John is going to proclaim and prepare the way of Jesus and to give knowledge of salvation to his people. And that's, I guess, the message here today. The central message of all preaching of the gospel is the message that salvation is offered to every one of us, every one of you and me. And it's through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, through his work, not through anything that we've done, but just through the work of Jesus. Believe on it, and you can be saved. You can have eternal life in heaven with God, and we can also have faith and peace in this life, that God can give us strength even in this life while we're here on this earth. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that's how Christians should be. Our feet should be the way of peace. See, so much of the world has so much fighting and people at each other's throats for whatever reason. But in the Christians, you see people that are seeking peace. Even the last few years, we see trucker convoy to Ottawa and whatnot, extremely peaceful. And I've met a lot of the people that were there, and there was a lot of Christians that were there. And it was a lot of their influence that kept it peaceful, because it could have really gone sideways if the purely secular people had their way. Things don't end up peaceful. But the Christians are always seeking peace, even in this natural life. So his child John, he grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Doesn't really tell us much. I think it doesn't tell us anything about Zacharias and Elizabeth after that. Good chance. They were elderly and they probably died before too long, and John ended up living in the desert until his showing unto Israel, and that's where a couple chapters down you can all look into it too, but you hear about the actual ministry of John. But he did exactly what his dad said he would do, that he proclaimed Jesus and he paved the way, and he had a very short ministry, and we know that he was beheaded. But we see the humanity of him. We see the humanity of all these people in the Bible. And I hope that each of you can relate to them, that they were men and women living their lives in their present time and just doing the best they could. And the examples we want to look to are those who followed God and trusted in Jesus and live their life in that faith in Jesus and in the work of God. And I pray that each of us could also do the same today, and that God would add the blessing to his word. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with 115, I believe.